Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me is Jane Gray, or is it Jan Gray?
It's Jan. It's just an extra N on the end.
You've written a book here called Illuminated Journaling. Is this your first book?
It is my first book under my name. I was with Josh McDowell Ministry for 27 years, and I did a lot of work with him on his projects and books. So I've done a lot of writing. Actually, when I felt like the Lord wanted me to write this book, I was a little resistant because I was saying to him, it's never good to start a conversation with God this way, but I did, and I learned not to. And I said, you do know that I write like a man. And he said, you do know I gave you that gift, and it's not something you have to do anymore. Sit down, start writing. And you know what? I ended up writing like a girl.
How did they write differently?
You know, clearly, when I was working with Josh, I definitely had the analytical left brain. The construction of how you write and it is a little bit different than women. We tend to be all the details are pertinent.
We have that
spider web thing going, and we can make it relevant.
I've heard it described as men got boxes in their heads and women got
spaghetti. I say that you guys are file cabinets because you really can't have more than one file drawer open at the time. You might be on a couple of file folders in the same drawer, but...
And we got one thing you don't have, an empty box.
This is true.
And we can go there.
This is true. This is very true. I'm looking for that empty box because my brain doesn't turn off.
You're out of luck.
I am. I'm a girl. We just have to deal with the things that God gave us, right?
Yeah, you got to live with them. You know, so this book here is a rather interesting one because, you know, we just gave my son a new Bible.
Yes.
And it's a doodler's Bible. I call it a doodler's Bible.
Is it a wide margin?
Wide margin, specifically designed for illuminated journaling.
It is. It's a huge thing out there. In fact, there's hundreds of thousands of people that are doing it, but it's the best kept secret from those that are in kind of maybe the organized Christian market. Bookstores didn't know it. They thought all of a sudden there were a whole bunch of people taking notes. And the reality is that there are a lot of us that are studying and responding in that margin of our Bible now.
So I have to ask, we're going back up just a little bit here. I have to ask this. When you took notes in school, were they in pristine order?
Absolutely not.
I
didn't even answer tests in pristine order. I would start at the one that I knew, and I worked back my way back.
Whatever fit, right?
Whatever I knew I could answer, I did first, and sometimes I would go back and add to it. I'm not a very linear person, except for my life. I'm really good at taking big, complicated things and breaking it down to easier steps, but really, my brain probably functions better in random access.
I was one of those when they'd get out of class, I would close my notebook really fast because I didn't want anybody seeing my notes. Because I could see the other person over there, and their notes were always 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, 4, 5, C, you know, perfect order and well written. And my book always looked like some kind of a combination, half words,
collage
half
of information.
Just a kind of like everything was there. I had,
and you know what? I bet you had an easier time remembering it than they did.
It did work for me very well because
we're made that way. You know, God made us as with visual memory that's very different from linear memory. But most of us try most of our life to use that linear memory where it's if you're trying to memorize scripture, it's word, link to next word, link to next word. And you get down to about 17, and you're like, it starts with a T, and you're lost. You're lost. But those of us that find a way to be a little creative with it, even if it's just rewriting it in the margin of your Bible, it actually invokes the creative memory, which is separate from that. And we memorize in that area as a whole. So your note-taking that is kind of collage style, all of that information was kept in your brain at the same place and not as word, 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 word. It was that whole image. You can learn a song easier than you can a poem with the same words in it.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because mind mapping came out, you know, about that time, and I loved it because here was something that actually began to make sense to me. It didn't incorporate the real visual part of that, which is the pictures.
Absolutely. And in Genesis, after the flood, God said, I call it the see and remember principle. He said, I put the rainbow in the sky that when you see it, you will remember that I've made a covenant with you to never again destroy the whole earth with a flood. You know, we are visual. That's why we take sticky notes with our grocery list to the grocery store. We need that visual reminder of things. And I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm a woman of a certain age, and I only have so much time left on this earth, and I don't want to have to go back and relearn stuff. So I'm putting things that are important things for me to remember into my journaling Bible.
So let's define for our listening audience, because we've talked around it, what
Sure.
illuminated journaling is.
For me, illuminated journaling is a way to close that final element in the cycle of Bible study, reflection, and response. See, for me, and probably for most people, we feel like we've got it checked off the to-do list when we've studied, and then if we spend a little time in reflection or prayer, we tend to go about the rest of our day going, you know, I'm glad I got that in because it had an impact on me. But for me, I've always felt like there was a component that was missing. And so for me, when I respond, and it can be as simple as writing a prayer. I've done it in written journals for years and years. But actually incorporating the visual part of it with something that almost acts like a snapshot or a selfie, if you will, on the page where I've done the studying, it actually creates a visual reminder that I can respond. And in that process of creating that visual element, the illustration or whatever, I'm actually doing two things. I'm not just talking to God, I'm listening. I'm saying, did I get this right? Before I put this in the Bible, before I do that, did I get it right? And you know what? There's times when he gives me very gentle correction. You were close. Here's the nuance you missed. I love gentle correction because I had a lifetime of getting on down the road thinking I was doing the right thing. And
I prefer the gentle correction.
Oh, yes. You know, it wasn't even with ill intent. It's just that I missed it. And you go further down the path, and now you've involved other people in it, and it's not as gentle. So I'm loving that aspect of it. But it also, it allows me to tarry in the Word in a very natural, comfortable way, as opposed to I'm just going to sit here and stare at the words.
Have you ever applied this concept of illuminated journaling to things outside of Scripture?
You know, I do. I have an art journal that I love to work in. And, you know, there are things that you see, ideas that you want to incorporate into your regular lifestyle. And while I don't put those things in my Bible, I do journal about them. And sometimes I'll paint a pretty background and write the quote. There's some powerful things that people have said that remind me. One of my favorites is by Charles Spurgeon, and he was asked, does he enjoy defending the Bible? And he kind of got this affronted look, and he said, defend the Bible? I'd rather defend a lion. Unchain it, and it will defend itself. And I love that. And actually, I did put that one in the back of my Bible. It was a Charles Spurgeon quote, so I put it back in the information section at the back of my Bible. But I love when those powerful things that I need to be reminded of, just as good life things, I try to put those in my art journal.
All of you people out there who have children who draw messy pictures in their notebooks on their lecture notes, listen carefully, because this may be the way your child learns best.
Absolutely. we know that God put that ability into our brains, and we do know from medical research, not by me, because that's not my deal, but I love to go read and find out how things, that we actually have two sets of memories about things. We have the linear memory that we create over on the left-hand side, and that's typically how school tells you to learn things. It's rote memory. You learn those multiplication tables by saying them over and over and over again. And you know what? A lot of us don't learn that way. We actually learn non-linearly and visually. And so if your kids are doing any kind of thing that seems to be outside of the norm, you know, let's help them do what they have to do to get the good grade in school, but be aware of it and let them do the things that they're naturally doing. Because I kind of think that if it's a natural tendency for them, that's probably how they learn. So find a way to incorporate that. If they tend to doodle, let them do. Give them a piece of watercolor paper, or you know, just a larger piece of paper, and say, paint a picture and do the times tables. Try and make 2 times 4 into a tree. Try to make 8 times 16 into the chimney on the house. Because if you do those kinds of things, allowing them to incorporate what you're trying to get over there, that whole page that has those numbers and multiplication tables, if they do a picture with it, they will remember that more likely than they will the other side.
So you've done this art journal, not written, but you've created imagery on this page. Would that be about a good way of describing it?
Yes. I use illustrations. I use maybe kind of elaborate lettering, you know, maybe taking my handwriting up a notch. It doesn't even have to be that elaborate. If you start the creative process by maybe putting just a little transparent watercolor wash down on the page, it's like that creative side of your brain kicks in. And so whatever you do after that actually is recorded over on that creative side. So if you want to write a prayer, write a prayer. If you want to rewrite the words from the scripture that you had, write that. If you want to do an image and maybe put some journaling about that, do that. It's that initial putting it into a creative space that your brain kicks in and knows that it's supposed to remember it in a different way.
So then you come back to it a year later, flipping through the journal, you open it up, there's the page. What happens to you when you see that page?
Here's the best way I can describe it. All of us take photos at family reunions, right? So let's say you've been to a family reunion a couple years ago, and your spouse says, "Was Aunt Martha at that one that we went to 2 years ago or 3 years ago?" And you're looking up at the sky trying to figure out, was she there or wasn't she? If you go back to those pictures, even if you see a picture that she is not in, that picture brings a past memory or experience into the present. Not only do you remember that she was there, you're like, remember she brought that potato salad where she put too much mustard in it. You know, she always does that. You remember tangential things as well. So that's what it's like for me when I come back to a page. The things that I learned, that selfie that I took, that kind of that Instagram kind of moment where I captured what God was teaching me when I studied there, all of those past experience becomes present for me. So I'm not having to go back and go, what is the scripture really saying? No, all of that is there in the front of my mind, and I have easy access to it.
Kind of reminds me of those the UPS barcodes. All that information is contained in that image.
Exactly.
Right there. And it's a 1-inch square, and it's got a ton of material in it.
That's a brilliant analogy. It is. It is. Only this one we actually can look at and understand it. I'm not so good at reading the bars.
Yeah,
but,
I can't quite get the dots either.
That little wand thing is great.
Yeah, I can read them.
I wish my brain worked that way, but not so much. But the photo, the illustration in my Bible does.
Now, I'm going to bring up something else here that's rather interesting, because my son, when he was in school, he would write meticulous notes. He was so careful not to put his letters above the line or below the line. He just wrote these beautiful notes because that's the way the teacher taught him to do it. And after he'd written those notes, he would take the test and fail. And so I pick up the paper. I said, well, I'm going to find out what's going on. I said, Riker, you just wrote all this stuff here. Tell me what you wrote. I don't know. And it dawned on me after questioning him that what he wrote on that paper was a picture. The words had no meaning. It was the picture. That's why it was so perfect. Everything was written as a picture. So his life, he sees, it's not that he can't read or write, but what he wrote was a picture, and it had no meaning.
Didn't translate into memory in his, or application.
Yeah.
And sometimes we look at scripture that way, too. Like, we sit down and we're reading our reading for the day because it needs to start here and end here, and we've done it. But if somebody said, what did you just read? There isn't that absorption of it. And that's really why I love something like illuminated journaling, because it takes it from your head down into your heart. And I tell people in all of my workshops, it's more about your heart than the art.
So with him, once I understood that, we got away from, okay, let's write this thing perfect, to put it down so that it has meaning to you, so that you're going to get it.
Right.
And often, he's
brilliant.
An artist.
Brilliant.
He draws it. So now we got this concept that we can take people, and I think it's good for everybody, because for one thing, let's deal with left brain, right brain. Okay. They've done research. There's a book by Daniel Pink called Whole Brain Thinking.
Yes, yes.
The capacity to conceptualize comes from both sides of our brain.
It does.
And if we exercise, if we tend to stay on one side or the other too much, we're missing what the other side has to offer.
Exactly. Don't you think that's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind?
Yeah.
Like those first two things we kind of get. We can't have divided loyalties, but we tend to approach it with the part that we're most comfortable with our mind.
Yeah. So
he's saying it takes both.
It takes both sides, because we want to, and when we're dealing with spiritual things, we're dealing with conceptualization.
And problem solving.
Yeah. So it's something that's different. It's something that's different. So we need both sides of our brains to do this.
You're absolutely
process.
Right.
But there's one problem here that a lot of people have. Don't write in the Bible. How dare you write in the Bible?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the first chapter of my book on illuminated journaling is called The Elephant in the Room. And we really address that, because I was a missionary for 27 years. I love God's Word. I love it. It's His love letter to me. It's how I know Him. It's how I know His character and His promises. And I would never do anything that would denigrate that. That's just a bottom line thing for me. But I also know that He wants us to know Him in all ways possible. I ask Him, are you okay with this? You know, probably not as flippant as that, but I saw the benefit to me, but I wanted to ask Him, is this beneficial to our relationship? I know that I will learn things through this, but does it take away from the time that I have with you on other things? And or do you feel that I'm not being respectful of your word? And I don't hear audible things, but I'm kind of like Eric Little from Chariots of Fire, where he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And so for me, I ask permission, and I regularly ask permission. And if at any point I don't feel His pleasure in it, I will stop doing it. But it's added such a huge element to my walk with Him. It's given a richness to it and a intimacy to it, and it's closed that cycle for me. And so I'm feeling that right now it is very honoring to Him. I'm very careful. But the good thing is that so many of our Bible publishers have now created a wide margin version of their Bible. There's an intention for that wide margin. Put your notes, put your doodles, put your artwork, put whatever you want to into that margin and allow it to be used as, we want to maximize it. Use it for whatever is going to take God's word from your head down to your heart.
We started the form of doodling when we got to the point where the underlining of the Bible was, now we're going to do it with highlighters, and we'll choose different colored highlighters for different things. So we started on that progress. But, you know, that didn't work quite the same way as a good picture does.
It doesn't. Now, Kay Arthur has done a brilliant thing with people, helping them find the consistent message of God throughout their Bible by marking particular themes or words in a particular way or color or those sorts of things. Because you can see as you go through your Bible that in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, it's also carried through in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I think that she understood the same principle. It just was maybe more of an analytical thinker's way of doing it, but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, for me, it didn't work too well because I had trouble with certain colors.
So. Yeah, that's true. You know, and there's a lot of people with red-green color blindness, and if there's even a little of it in that color, it's not so good.
No, it made it kind of rough. So, and I was one who was always, it was taboo. But the nice thing now is there are actually these Bibles with the wide margin. We got my son a Bible that was specifically for illuminated journaling.
Absolutely. And he loves it, doesn't he?
Yes, it's a beautiful thing because it gives him a chance to do something. So let's talk now how people will use this book to be able to get there.
Well, you know, because it's kind of a new concept, and if folks are on social media much, this is going to be a familiar thing to them because it shows up everywhere. It's on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook and all those sorts of things. So you can kind of, you can Google it or hashtag look it up if you want to, illuminated journaling or Bible journaling. But it really was the best kept secret in most Christian ministries. So what we have done, what I decided and felt like the Lord was leading me to do, is to write a book that kind of covers first the apologetic of it. Why do we want to do this? I mean, why is it different from any other kind of Bible studying, and what sets it apart and makes it work for us in a unique way? Because we don't want to add something for us to do if it isn't bringing benefit to us. So the first three chapters are kind of explaining why the principles that God has built into our character work. So those first three chapters, and then the rest of it is just kind of helping you get started, giving you some resources and some ways, things to try, help you discover what your style is, mm-hmm. and really kind of affirm to you that you don't have to be an artist. You know, my art teacher in high school didn't think so much of my artwork, and that's okay. I can...
Well, it needs to speak to you.
It does, And you know what? I can teach you a few little tips and tricks in my book. You will create beautiful responses to what you and God have done on the pages of your Bible.
We've got to bring this to a close, but just one final thought on this. The interesting thing would be that if a person took a Bible a year and journaled in each Bible, then each year you would see what struck you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you would see your growth or what changed in your life over the course of a year.
Yes, and I would love for parents to start a Bible when their kids are small. Instead of, you know, churches even, instead of giving those little white New Testaments that nobody does anything with when they dedicate their baby, give the parents a wide margin Bible and ask them to write at least a letter a year on the birthday of their child in there. And if anything else strikes them throughout the year, if they have applied a verse to what is going on in their child, just make a note of that. And then when their child is grown and maybe leaving the home for the first time, give them that as a way of them being able to connect to the legacy of God's faithfulness in their life up to that point. They go off to college and, you know, they're kind of bombarded with all kinds of things. To see that faithfulness that God has had, yeah, I think would be a cool thing.
Especially when it comes to the birth of their first baby.
Yes.
It will take on new,
yes,
meaning for them.
Yes.
All right, the book we have here is called Illuminated Journaling by Jan Gray. And how can people get this book?
Well, it's available in most of your Christian bookstores and obviously online at Amazon and that sort of thing. But or they can come visit my website at illuminatedjournaling.com. We have it there as well.
I think that would be a good thing, especially I'd do both. Go buy the book and visit.
And visit. Yeah, we have a lot of great resources there to kind of get you started and give you some visual. You know, we're talking about a visual, so I've done a whole lot of videos that you can see that process.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us.
Richard, it was great to be with you.
And I think this is definitely an intriguing and interesting approach. I was not a note taker. People, if you're not a note takers, even if you are note takers, exercise that part of your brain that lets you see the picture.
Exactly. Exactly. You totally got this.
Thank you for being with us.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com.